The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds, they are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
Oh yes, Taz and the Moose with you, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house, it's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Bilotti is basically wrapped up and he's got enough jackets and sweatshirts on this morning. You would think it's like 5 degrees in the studio. Is it, Pete, this morning?
Four.
Okay, there you go. Very nice.
I got to be honest, and this is not...
Segley across the way as well. I've never seen a guy as bundled up as Bilotti is. I worry about him. Are you sick?
I just got one sweatshirt on. That's it.
You looks heavier than that.
I'm just fat.
Wow.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Don't talk about yourself like that.
My spirit's broken.
Now I feel bad. You look great, Pete. You look great.
Thank you.
What were you saying, Andrew?
Not nothing. Just Pete, but the people who are early reactors to weather bother me. And now it's the people who are bundling up because it's 50, not 70.
I'm wearing shorts this morning.
Right, good for you. Now that's the other thing. It's also not shorts weather, Moose. And there is a guy, you know, then when we get to the spring, and for the first time it's 60, not 40 or 30, and people are breaking out their tank tops again. Like, you got to ease your way into the weather changes.
Yeah.
The first time it's not cold doesn't mean it's summer. And right now, the first time it's not hot doesn't mean you need to bring out your winter jacket and your knit cap.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like the knit hat look, but I do agree. There is a little bit of an overreaction. Like, I saw somebody yesterday kind of wearing one of those... goose down jackets. I was like, listen, it's not that cold out.
No, it's not.
I mean,
it's just not.
And if you're that cold, you need to see a doctor. You might be a little deficient someplace. I mean, there's something going on there. There really is. Let's head down to Virginia. It's Alonzo. What's going on, Alonzo?
Hey, how you doing, man? Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you, Alonzo, loud and clear, man. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I totally disagree with the load management of healthy players. If you're going to manage a guy, manage the minutes. You know, I've seen guys come up an injury and coach played them 20 minutes versus 35 or 40 minutes. So do that, because I'd rather, I know a guy's going to play. If I buy a ticket, he may not play the whole game, but at least I know he's going to play.
Right, Alonzo, but then you get into the trickiness of the competitive game. What do you do if, say, for argument's sake, if I'm Doc Rivers and I've got Kawhi Leonard, I'm going to manage his minutes. I've got him for 27 minutes this night, right? What's the importance of the 27 minutes? Say if I've already hit, minute 25, 26, and there's 6 minutes to go to the game, and it's anybody's game. Am I taking him out of that game, or am I keeping him in that game?
Well, the Lakers had a game the other day where LeBron and AD didn't have it the first quarter or the first two quarters, and the bench players kind of brought him back in the game. And you put those guys back in the game at the end. So you can have Kawhi available for the fourth quarter. I think if your team can hold, the score close, you can afford to manage those minutes.
I got you. So you would rather have it to where it's a case of it's more the minutes than it is actually the games.
Yes.
I mean, it's fair where you're not playing a guy taxing him playing 37, 38 minutes.
But, I mean, in the game he's referencing, which is a game Tuesday night in Chicago, LeBron and Anthony Davis both played over 30 minutes. So they didn't. LeBron played 35. Davis had 31. So they didn't have the night off. And they had played a lot into the second half, which is why the bench came in. And I heard why am I blanking? Frank Vogel say that. Like, he just needed to get them off the floor. So they were not being held back. They got lucky that Kyle Kuzma, and they were down by 20 points in that game. They were lucky that Kyle Kuzma got hot and Quinn Cook got hot, and they did start the rally. And then LeBron and Davis came back in because they finally got a break and could stay on the bench and finish strong, and they rallied and they won by 6 points. They did not go into that game trying to limit LeBron and Davis by any stretch. And I understand the point at face value. Like, okay, you play 82 games or, you know, 78, whatever it is, because there's going to be games where you physically can't, like, legitimately shouldn't play. But it's really difficult to do what he wants coaches to do, to have a guy active, like you said, Moose, and only play him 25 minutes. Plus, it's probably, and I could be wrong here, but my guess is it'd be more efficient to just have a guy not play at all so that when he's there for you, he's playing at full efficiency and full effort the whole time. Like, I know it's, again, it seems nice that a guy is always there, but I'd rather have 70, 72, 74 high-quality peak Kawhi Leonard games than he's actually out there for all 82, but maybe only 65 of them are at full capacity because he's banged up or gassed because he's always been out there for all 82.
Well, right, and then you have to be really creative if you're just talking about it from a minutes perspective, because you can't have it to be in the same minute allotment, you know, every single game, because there's going to be some games that are of greater significance, right?
Right.
And then you go into it and you don't know how a game's going to get played out, blow out one way or the other. All of a sudden you think you're going to play Kawhi Leonard, 36 minutes. You only end up playing him, you know, 20 minutes. So then do you take those 16 minutes? Do you allot them to another game? Or do you take those 16 minutes and say, well, I got Kawhi Leonard 16 minutes of rest, we're staying the course? And then you get to the conjecture and the questions after a game in terms of how said player is used. And why wasn't player X in the game at this stage? Well, we already maxed out his minutes for the game. We're not playing him the rest of the way. And then you're saying, well, what are you trying to do here? You're trying to win basketball games? Or are you worried about, you know, where this team is going to be, you know, come May and June? And the answer is going to be, well, we're making sure that said player is healthy come playoff time. Let's head down to Houston, Texas. It's Joseph. It's CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Joseph?
Hey, man. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, so, like, you know, I get what the one caller was saying about, you know, the old school guys. They want to see the guys out on the court. They're not going to tune in for those events if said player is not playing. You know, they want to see the fights, man. They want to see the grit. They want to see the durability. But from another standpoint, I can kind of understand, you know, the millennials, they have changed the game. The game has changed. You know, so they need the rest. They need the time, you know, to let their bodies heal so they can produce in the, you know, when it counts. But, you know, I was talking to the guy that answered the phone. I can't remember his name, but I listen to y'all every day. So I made a joke. I say, listen, I listen because it's the Taz and Moose show. So today I'm not tuning in. No offense to AB, man. You're my boy too. But I think that maybe some time management during the schedule. They need to work the bench in, right? It's a team sport. So the bench has to be strong, too. So there's so many different ways and avenues you can look at this that, it's all about your opinion. As an old school guy, I don't want to watch the game if the players aren't in. That's just me. That's all I got today, man.
Well, you got it, Joseph. Appreciate it. So last night you weren't locked in the Clippers and Bucks. You were bothered by it. And I can understand that. And the NBA's got to be okay with that. Listen, the true blue NBA fan's going to be locked in. They don't necessarily. It's, you know, the guy that's going to say, all right, I want to watch this matchup. I want to see Giannis and Kawhi Leonard, and then it's not there. They're going to find something else to do with their time. You know, they are. They're not going to get locked in. But the guy
Although
that's
I'd
playing,
suggest to still watch Giannis.
Well,
because he was pretty damn special last night.
I understand he had 38 points in 36 minutes, and Giannis is great, but you're watching it specifically. You can watch Giannis on that. You're watching because you want to see that matchup. You want to see Clippers Bucks. You want to see Kawhi Leonard on the court. I'm not talking about the daily fantasy player. I'm not talking about the NBA fan that basically can't wait for NBA basketball the moment he or she wakes up on a Wednesday morning. No, that's not the person. I'm talking about the fan that you draw in that's not watching maybe every single NBA game, but is watching specific games and maybe had this game scheduled, circled on their calendar early on in the season,
yeah,
they're not going to be locked in. They're not going to be watching. Got to be okay with that. If the NBA is okay with that, that's fine. And then listen, for a Joe Q public that buys the ticket, if they're going to say, ah, you know what, not that big of a deal. I get it. It's disappointing, but I move on. If I buy a $125 ticket to watch that game and one of the superstars is sitting out because it's his quote-unquote rest day, then if you're okay with that, I mean, you're the NBA's dream, because as long as you're going to be okay with that, the NBA is going to look at it, and they've tried to alleviate the problem and take care of the problem and alleviate the stress and the concern. But if you're not going to complain about it, they're going to believe that the problem goes away.
Yeah, last night on an individual level was certainly, you wish the Clippers would have picked a better day. I mean, national TV, they're also, it's a back-to-back, but there's no travel. They're home again for Portland, so there's not even like, it's a game and then a flight and then a game. I mean, last night probably was one of the worst scenarios to sit him out in terms of all of the different logistics that are in play here. I mean, just next week, they play at Houston, at New Orleans. He's not playing on Wednesday and Thursday next week. He's not playing both of those games. I can almost guarantee
you
that.
No, you're probably right about that.
And there's another double. There's another back-to-back later in the month, which again, I think where I just saw it, where it's 3 and 4 days. He's one of those games he's going to be out as well. They could maybe arguably pick and choose better spots to rest him, but I'm still going to defend their right to rest him and play him as many games as they think is correct so that he's good when it matters most to them in the back part of the season.
All right, but aren't you, okay, for just away from the whether or not it's, age thing, whether it's not a softness of the NBA player, aren't you minimizing the regular season?
Yeah. But again,
with that?
Because for a team like the Clippers, the regular season matters less than the postseason. So, yeah, I want to prioritize April, May, and June November and December.
Right, I get it. But, I'm cultivating the NBA fan for the most part based on, the fact of when the schedule begins and a long 82-game regular season. People already complain that the regular season is minimized by the amount of teams that make it into the playoffs. You've had that age-old discussion when it comes to the NBA, when mm-hmm. it comes down to the National Hockey League, the fact that 8 teams per conference, 16 teams in total, you've already minimized.
I mean,
the
we have it everywhere. With wild cards in baseball, with how many playoff teams in college football, how big is the NCAA tournament, that's always a conversation.
Sure. You're not wrong about that. But I think it's been more of a conversation historically when it comes to the NBA and the National Hockey League.
Yes.
A little bit more now in baseball with the adjustment they've made here with the wild card. But they felt like they needed to do it because they felt like they had too many teams, too many cities were out of it too soon. So they want to keep baseball relevant as long as they possibly could. Now, aren't you minimizing it even longer by, giving the A-OK and saying, all right, well, I'm looking at an 82-game season. We know how meaningful the playoffs are. We're going to put even greater significance of the playoffs, which are highly significant because we're going to allow guys and teams to be able to, manage the workload of their star players during the course of the NBA regular season. Don't you minimize it even more? Isn't that a problem for the league long term?
I don't think so, Moose.
You don't think so at all.
I mean, think back to all of your favorite memories, or at least your most prominent memories growing up, right?
Yeah.
About the teams that you loved, whether that's a positive or a negative, just games that stick in your mind. They're almost all postseason games, or they almost all affected the ability to be in the postseason, whether it's a heartbreaking loss on the last day or winning the Super Bowl or fall, whether you're a Knicks fan and you're watching Charles Smith get blocked 16 straight times by the Bulls and you're watching Jordan, or you're a Cavs fan and Jordan shooting over Elo, you're a Rockets fan running into the Warriors again and again and again. Like, those are the games that stick out in your mind, good or bad. You might have a regular season game in there because maybe it was, it had a historical significance to it. It had almost a societal significance, like games here in New York post 9/11. It might have just been a game that you were at that it was crazy, or it was 19 innings or quadruple overtime. But I would think if you made a list of your, top 10 most memorable games, most of them are in the postseason. So I want my team to get to the postseason.
No, I get it. I mean, listen, I remember the first regular season NBA game I watched. It was Knicks Spurs. It was on actually Channel 9 in New York. The Knicks, you say, you know, and there was a time the NBA was on tape delay.
I know.
But there was.
Like afternoon finals games into the 80s.
Right. Channel 9, for everyone out there, used to be OR, now it My 9. But it's a local New York affiliate. It's not ABC, NBC, or whatever. And Knicks and Rangers, some games used to be on Channel 9 growing up. So it was just a local affiliate where their games would be on there. And I remember watching Knicks Spurs at my mom's house in Pearl River, New York, on Channel 9 on just like a kind of a rando Friday night. And sitting there and watching it and being like, you know, this is great and everything like that. I remember the first NBA regular season game I watched. And listen, I was locked in and being a Knicks fan and you know, don't know any sort of postseason success in terms of winning an NBA championship. But, you know, I looked at it as the regular season, you know, it used to have greater significance and meaning now than it does in today's day and age. And, I mean, that's troubling. And maybe it's because, I'm in my early 40s. It's not like I'm an old man. But I'm not trying to have a get-off-my-lawn moment. But I can understand where, you know, the valuation of a dollar in today's day and age, where you're not getting the bang for the buck. And if you're going to be A-okay with it, you know, it would bother me. You know, if I show up to a game and I buy tickets in advance, it would bother me if I show up to that game while watching backups play. That would bother me. Now, you know, I get you could say, well, it's just the sign of the times. It's the NBA. It's the millennials. It's the softness of the league. It's the way that it is. The importance of the postseason, the importance of winning a championship. You know, but I also don't think that's necessarily a great look for the sport. Now, they've kind of minimized the impact by the way they've adjusted the schedule, but this kind of storyline like it did last night, Andrew, does rear its ugly head from time to time.
Sure, and you and I are both fathers, and you know we discussed this yesterday, me wanting to take my kids to their first hockey game. Now, I don't have this particular situation because neither one of my kids cares enough to have like a truly favorite player, but like if one of them did and I was taking them to a game to see that player and they weren't playing for load management, yeah, it's disappointing. And I would feel that I obviously didn't get everything I wanted out of the expense. But, you know, we still would have had fun and we would hopefully be able to go again soon. And I would do my best to figure out how I could raise the chances of so-and-so playing in that game.
Okay, so then how would you, let me ask you this. Put your dad's hat on for a second. How would you explain that to your kid?
Right now, because they're 8 and 5, I would just say he's not playing tonight. I don't think they would.
Okay, but say for argument's sake, say you know they're a little further along, right, in their development, right? Say they're 10, 11 years old. You go to a basketball game, they've got their favorite player, pick said player. Say it's Giannis. You know, you're going and you're seeing the Bucks are coming to the tri-state area. You're out in Brooklyn, New York, to watch Nets and Bucks.
Yeah,
and Giannis is not playing in the game. And your son or daughter are, you know, they're shocked, they're disappointed that he's not in the game. How would you explain it to them?
I would explain it to them the way I've been defending my point here all this morning, is that he's
suck it up,
that he's
move
no,
on,
not,
here's some popcorn.
No, not suck it up. Is that they're trying to make sure that he's as good as he can be later in the season when they're playing more important games and they're trying to win a championship. And they think that him getting a day off here and there is going to help them in that pursuit. Because I don't, whether they accept it or not is going to be up to them. But like I don't come at it as this. To me, the idea of being out there for 82 games, like it's an arbitrary demand. It just is. Like I don't like to go back to your Jordan reference. I know a lot about Michael Jordan. I was a bad New Yorker. I loved Michael Jordan, the Bulls. I was happy when they beat the Knicks. I celebrated them winning. Hey, you're a Redskins fan, so calm yourself down.
You were
down.
Happy when they beat the Knicks.
I liked the Bulls. I liked the Bulls.
You hate the Knicks. That's why.
Still agree.
So, like, I lived Michael Jordan. I was, aside from being in Chicago, I was a Bulls fan. I couldn't tell you, and it doesn't matter how many full seasons of regular season games Michael Jordan played, whether it's 82 games.
But it meant something then. There was significance of it.
I guess so. I mean, I was at the oldest. What was the last year of their title?
Was 96.
So yeah. I was 16 then. So I was still young in terms of understanding overall context of stuff. So if you remember people being knocked over by Jordan playing every single regular season game, that's fine. But like, it doesn't matter to me now as an adult understanding what it means to play every single game. Like, it's not a negative.
I'm sorry, 97, 98.
Okay, so I was even older, but still, I was still not an adult and fully formed and thinking about things. It's not important to me. I don't need to know how many regular season games Michael Jordan played to know that Michael Jordan was the best basketball player of all time.
I get it, but it also wasn't an issue because the guys played.
Right, but a lot of things, but things change. Like, this is a part of this is
I whether understand, you like, but it doesn't mean you have to like it.
No, but I mean,
it doesn't mean you have to be A-okay. Just because some things change, it doesn't necessarily mean it's for the better.
But I also don't think it makes them soft, which is a word that you've used more than once.
Well, I don't think it makes them soft. I mean, do I think the NBA player is as tough as the NBA player was in the 90s? I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
I think sometimes toughness becomes. I was going to say idiocy. That's not a good word. But I think sometimes you can be too tough, and maybe you should have not played in a game, and that maybe would have been
I'm just talking about the overall style. The game is so wide open. Any kind of physical contact, the guy's dropping to the court like he's a soccer player. I mean, that there is a general softening of the NBA game.
Well, no, but see, that's different.
And there has been.
But that's different.
And the fact that guys need to take off. If I'm 27 years of age, I'm playing 36 minutes of basketball a night, and I'm not taking any contact. I'm not taking any hits. There's no physicality to the game. Just basically my cardiovascular fitness is being tested on a nightly basis.
Well, now they're running a treadmill for 48 minutes?
No, but that's it.
It's not that simple either.
Well, no, but for the most part, I am simplifying it, but for the most part, the greatest test the NBA player takes now is the cardiovascular fitness they're in.
I mean, that's it. I was young, but I wasn't.
There's no Pat Riley. When if they go to the rim, you put them on their ass.
Moose, I was still old enough to watch a lot of those games. I know that they were the bad boys and the Jordan rules. I know all those things existed, but unless I'm completely forgetting things. A November game in the regular season in 1992 wasn't a gauntlet.
Well,
guys were leaving bloodied and bruised and whatever.
More physical game. There was hand checking. There were guys getting sent to the ground. There were actually guys in the league that couldn't stand one another. Now everyone's hunky dory. Everyone loves one another.
We just had Joel Embiid and Karl Anthony Towns
making mom jokes on social media. Watch most NBA games. After the game, everyone's high-fiving. The team gets destroyed by 35. Everyone's joking around after the game.
Yeah, you're an old man.
I'm not an old man. That's the truth. That is the truth. Whether you like it or not, that is the truth. It's not.
Let me
ask you this. Do you think in today's day and age, Scottie Pippen would have migraines? You think the Detroit Pistons, based on the way they played Scottie Pippen, could give them migraines?
Meaning, like, Pippen would have been okay all year long?
The physical play and the taxing and the toll that they put on Pippen. They basically broke him. Do you think they could do that to today's day and age in the NBA? They could not.
They'd get suspended. They could do it once, but maybe not twice.
Stop it, Bogus. You know they couldn't.
All right. And if you missed it, I'm sorry that you missed that. I'm sorry that they took that away from you, that you
honestly
needed the Pistons to break Scottie Pippen.
What about Pat Riley's rules when he told the Knicks? Nobody's taking it to the rim.
Except Jordan when they kept beating them.
Well, stop.
So that worked out well.
Put them on their rear end. They're not Jordan.
Maybe they should have scored some points.
Patrick did. He dunked right over him. Saw that replay over and over again. They screamed in his face.
The Jordan rules.
Patrick was sitting on his rear end and nobody helped him up.
How'd that work? He solved the Pistons. He solved the Knicks.
I always wish Patrick won a championship.
Yeah, me too.
I'll go to my grave with that one.
Maybe if they weren't concerned with hurting people, they would have.
No, if they had more talent, they always needed that secondary star. It was always the search for the secondary star every offseason.
Right, instead of
Orlando Blackman. Remember that? They brought him in, his back gave way. The great Kiki Vandeweghe. Sorry, Bilotti, we're going to go to break. Here we go.
It's okay, Pete.
It's Taz of the Moose. Bogus is in the house. We're talking a little NBA. We'll get into Jim Boeheim. Already game one, and Jimmy B up in Syracuse is complaining. How about that? We'll get into that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Bogus is in the house. Taz is off. You need anything, Bilotti? Yes, no? Indifferent? Here we go. Sunday, the NFL on CBS features the Chiefs take on the Titans, or a big NFC encounter between the Lions and the Bears. Oh, my. Oh, all beginning. It's all beginning with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. We'll get into Jimmy B, Jim Boeheim, that is, as I am a proud Syracuse alum, already complaining and whining, even after game one.
He's right, though.
The college basketball season. We'll get into it in just a little bit here. Bogish, good morning. What do you got going on?
Oh, hey, Moose, good
Anything
to see you again.
Groundbreaking on this
Still
Thursday
no. Morning?
No.
Okay. It's just
you.
A report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. This year, Progressive celebrates 7 years and over 700 cars given to veterans, giving thanks by providing independence to those who protected. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. North Carolina and stud freshman Cole Anthony, one for one in the new season.
Carolina gets it inbound. Ends up back to Anthony, right sideline. Quick guarded three. Goodness gracious, 31. He is every bit as good as they said he was.
That's Jones Angel from Learfield IMG College.
It's weird seeing, sorry to interrupt you, it's weird seeing Cole Anthony being able to shoot the ball when Greg Anthony couldn't. His dad, who was in attendance,
he
proud
was.
Papa. And Cole Anthony is a hell of a freshman for North Carolina. And, you know, he might be the number one overall pick come next June in the NBA draft. But I will say, it's very strange. I love that Anthony, I'm dating myself, but that UNLV team,
yeah.
Greg Anthony, Anderson Hunt, Stacey Augman, Larry Johnson, I think Greg Butler down low wearing the double zero. I mean, that running Rebel team with Jerry Tarkanian, that was their domination and win the championship out in Denver, which was a good Final Four when they absolutely destroyed Duke. It was Arkansas, Georgia Tech, Duke, and UNLV in that Final Four out there in Denver. And you had stars. You had Kenny Anderson, Dennis Scott in that Final Four.
Yeah.
Arkansas run up and down the court. I think Lee Mayberry and Todd Day were on that Arkansas
say, that's
team.
That's not Corliss Williamson yet.
No, that was Lee Mayberry right. and Todd Day, I think, was the dynamic backcourt for Nolan Richardson. But
Scotty Thurman played with Corliss Williamson?
Thurman played with Corliss Williamson. Yes, he did. But, you know, Greg Anthony, he was a great, I mean, very bright guy, smart guy, businessman as well, and we've seen him as an analyst. But
couldn't shoot.
Could not shoot the basketball. And his son basically can't miss.
No.
As he drops at 34 last night.
And I guess he started the game in glasses, didn't shoot well, took the glasses off, and then went nuts. 34 points. He knocks Rashad McCants out of the Tar Heel record books for the most points in his debut.
The great Rashad McCants.
12 of 24 shooting.
T-Wolf bust.
11 rebounds and 5 assists. The Heels down Notre Dame 76-65. Number 11, Virginia, smothered Syracuse at the Carrier Dome, 48-34. Number 21, Arizona, beat Northern Arizona, 91-52. In the pros, the Bucks taking advantage of that off night for Kawhi.
Giannis for his 4-3. Yes! ABC! Easy as 1-2-3 for the MVP. 115-103. Four made threes by Giannis will match his career high.
Ted Davis, Bucks Radio. Giannis, 38 points, 16 rebounds, 9 assists in the 129-124 W at Staples. He's the first player in NBA history with 200 points, 100 rebounds, and 50 assists over the first 8 games of a season. The Grizzlies dropped the T-Wolves 137-121. Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant combined for 30 fourth-quarter points, and the Pacers outscored the Wizards 121-106. Rams wideout Brandon Cooks will not play this weekend. He is seeing a specialist for his lingering concussion symptoms. Chiefs QB Patrick Mahomes put in a full practice yesterday. Andy Reid says they'll go day-to-day deciding if Mahomes plays Sunday against the Titans. The MLBPA is mad at Braves GM Alex Anthopoulos for saying he has spoken with most teams about their plans for free agency. The union taking that as a hint of collusion. Anthopoulos clarified a statement saying he's only discussed trade scenarios with other teams. And from the NHL, the Blues won at Edmonton 5. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I don't think he meant openly that they've been
right,
colluding.
Right.
But
what are you
going to
be offering this guy?
Yeah. The bigger thing is the union hates teams right now.
Well, the free agency's been a disaster the last 2 years.
And they're inching towards a significant labor battle, which might affect the 2021 season, I think?
Yes.
Or 22. It's not next. It's not the coming one, obviously. It might be 2 years away.
I think it is 2 years.
I think we've got 2 years of safety before the possibility of them being off the field.
Correct.
And that's the bigger theory, the bigger system, is that they hate each other right now.
They do. That's it?
That's it.
You're done.
Yeah. The Blues won in hockey. That's
well, you mentioned Cole Anthony. He drops in 34 for Carolina. Syracuse scored 34 as they lost to Virginia 48-34 last night. Here's the Syracuse head coach, one of the great college coaches of all time, Jim Boeheim, after the loss.
You never want to play the league games early. That's stupid. It's just a money grab. They got scheduled games for TV, for the TV contract, so you got to play games early. And then somebody had the brilliant idea of opening up the first game with a league game. I just don't think it's good. I don't think it's smart. You want to build up to the league. The league's the most important thing, so why would you play the first game of the year in the league? Makes no sense to me, but that's just what happens when you go to 20 games and somebody wants you to play early.
Well, listen, you could say, well, you knew the game was coming. You could have done a better job. I mean, I think Syracuse, they're not a great team this year. They haven't had a great recruiting class since Mike Hopkins left that coaching staff, being the lead assistant, as he was at one point in time the coach in waiting for Jim Boeheim, and now you see him up there in Washington.
The wait was too long.
And he's recruiting. Well, yeah, I mean, waiting 10 years. And then all of a sudden, Jim Boeheim's basically like, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. Hopkins like, well, I mean, when am I going to get a chance to coach? Yeah.
And he went almost as far away as possible.
Yeah, right. And listen, and Boeheim recommended him to get that job up there in Washington. It's not like he hasn't, but I mean, Hopkins grew wearisome or tiresome of waiting for Jim Boeheim. So, and Boeheim doesn't want to retire. So be it. The problem is, you know, they're not a great team. Now, taking on Virginia, you knew the game was coming. And I think Boeheim, you didn't hear it in the cut there, basically echoed the fact of we're not where we need to be to play, to take on that team with that defense. And he's not wrong.
No.
And what he had to say is not wrong either. As you're seeing a lot of these other teams opening up now, not Michigan State and Kentucky, and not Kansas and Duke. You know, the one thing, those teams, you didn't hear Izzo complain on the fact that he's taking on Kentucky opening night, you know, at Madison Square Garden, the Champions Classic. You didn't hear Bill Self complaining. Bill Self happy to still have a job.
Yeah.
But you're not hearing Bill Self complaining that Kansas is taking on Duke in their opening game. You hear Boeheim complaining about the fact that it's a league game. Now, the one difference is it's a league game.
Right. And it's a road game.
Right. And, well, that's the difference there for Jim Boeheim.
Right. Well, it was a road game for Virginia, and I saw the note this morning. It's the first time that the previous year's champions opened with a true road game, not neutral site, a true road game since the 1967 UCLA Bruins.
Wow.
Just to give you like the context of how odd being on the road period is
to start your season. That is a great nugget from you there, Bogus.
As a power conference.
Although overtime this morning.
But a road conference game. And I'm all in on Boeheim. Now, the only thing I would say to maybe slow down his anger is this is part of pushing the ACC network, which was started in August. This is their first basketball season. So they're coming out of the gate with some conference games. And I think only Duke, for playing Kansas two nights ago, is the only team in the ACC not playing an ACC game team here in week one. So I think there's 15 teams in the ACC. So the 14 others, there's 7 conference games. It happened Louisville
in the opening week?
In the opening week. Because Louisville and Miami played on opening night on Tuesday. And when I saw that, I'm like, that's a conference game, right? Like, it's so odd that there was a conference game to start the year that it was making me...
It's a little odd.
It made me doubt what leagues they were in. I'm like, wait, Miami? No, that's
a league
an ACC
game, right.
game. And then I just thought, could they have possibly committed to this game before they were both in the ACC? Well, this is not football, first of all. They're the ones that schedule 8 years ahead of time, and they've both been in the ACC for a long time. It makes no sense. He's right that they shouldn't be playing conference games right now. The problem is, the part of the reason why they're playing them right now is because of the ACC network, which ends up giving them money that they're benefiting from. And either way, they're going to be okay from this 0-1 start in the ACC. That's not going to define their tournament resume when we get to February and March. But I understand his frustration. This is not the way you're supposed to open up your season.
No, it's not. Now, would Boeheim have complained if it was a team not named Virginia or North Carolina or, say, Duke? If it was not one of the, you know, and I know Virginia is replacing a lot, but we know Tony Bennett's team is defensive oriented.
It's a unique matchup.
They're tough to go up against, even with all the talent they lost to the NBA and the pros. And they're the defending champs. They don't have the same team as they did a year ago, but they're a difficult kind of defensive. They're willing to go, you know, slow it down, minimize possessions over the course of a game. Is it a case of the opponent Or is it a case of opening up in conference?
I think
it's got to be a combination of both, right? Because if he's taking on a bad ACC team and Syracuse wins that game by 12 points last night or 8 points, is Jim Boeheim after the game complaining that he's opened up in a conference and saying that this is stupid and a money grab?
Complaining, no. Does he make a reference about it? Yes, because I'm sure he is not like this from the get-go. And, you know, prepping all summer, knowing what game one was, that it was a conference game against anybody, he was definitely angry about it. So he would have made a point of bringing it up even after a win. Obviously, the tone would have been completely different. But he would have said, like, no one should be playing a conference game right now.
Right. He just would have had a smile on his face when he was talking
about it. We got this win when we should have been playing. Because normally they open with, like, LeMoyne. And they welcome all upstate New York teams. Colgate, St. Bonaventure.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
Like, in particular, him, he stays up there as long as he can before he leaves the Carrier Dome.
No,
and you know this well.
There is an argument to be made of the building up of momentum for a season.
Of course.
And for a team, especially when they're a team that's a work in progress, where they're not superiorly gifted. You're not looking at, four, five-star recruits.
Right, he's not walking Jerry McNamara and Carmelo Anthony and Hakeem Warrick into that game.
Correct, yeah. And
although I think Melo was there last night.
Melo was there.
It's a shaggy beard.
Yeah,
I saw him very quickly.
Interesting look for Carmelo Anthony. Yes, but he was there for the opening night loss against Virginia. I'm sure he visited the Carmelo Anthony Center at some point the course of the day as well. Good for Melo.
Yeah.
It was an interesting look for Melo. And listen, Boeheim has a right to complain. I get it, but it's also, I mean, this is just the sign of the times, is it not? I mean, this is a case of where you mentioned in terms of the ACC network, they're making money. You know, there's more and more and more. You look at these entities, broadcast entities, all everybody wants is content, content, content. They want games all over the place. I mean, you're having college football games basically on every single night if you pop on ESPN.
I think there was MACtion last night.
Yeah, there was. There was MACtion last night on a Wednesday
that's
night.
That's why Taz is off today.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But on a Wednesday night, you had college football. When we were growing up, there was never college football on Wednesday night.
No, there wasn't even on Thursday night.
That never transpired. Right, Thursday night was the big game. You never even saw it on Friday nights.
No, nor
and
Sunday night.
And now you
night.
See it. I mean, the Big Ten has a Friday night schedule, so it's all changed here.
That all the important
I guess
Boeheim
can
put me
complain.
On.
I do think he would have said something. I do think the opponent and how difficult the opponent was for his team to go up against early on in the season, I think that led to even a more angrier, ticked off Jim Boeheim postgame.
Or even if they broke 40 and lost a tighter game.
It's difficult to score 34 points
in
40 minutes of college basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, you want to talk about not being offensively efficient. That's difficult to do. And it was, if you think the score is bad, the game was even worse.
Yeah. Which is the reason why it shouldn't have been on the schedule.
Like, sometimes the score doesn't tell the entire story.
Right.
The score tells the entire story.
Yes, there's no hidden agenda in that.
That was not must-see basketball last night up at the Carrier Dome. It really was not. Mitchell Trubisky wants the TVs off. We'll explain. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and the Moose, Bogus in the House, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line of 855-212-4227 brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. The team of the week is brought to you by our good friends over at Ferguson. This week's team, the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens defeat the Patriots 37-20 Sunday Night Football. Then Bill Belichick's squad, their first loss of the year. The Ravens improved to 6-2 with the win and will next face the Bengals on Sunday. It's all brought to you by Ferguson. Hey, Trade Pros, Ferguson is proud to be a part of what you do with over 1,000 one-stop counter shops, expert associates, and an unmatched selection of OEM repair parts. Learn more. Hop online, Ferguson.com. So we've been awfully critical of Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky, and rightfully so. I mean, he's been terrible for the Chicago Bears. There's no other way to put it. And now reports out of Chicago are that Mitchell Trubisky, to try and change the vibe, or he doesn't want to really hear or see the negativity anymore, would like the facility TVs out in Chicago to be off.
Yeah, if you're listening, Mitch, turn the radios off now. because this is more negativity. I mean, dude,
you can't be,
this is over. I'm going to be overdramatic. This is over.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think you look at the talent of the player and how he has not evolved as a signal caller, and he's regressed and has progressively gotten worse here.
With a guy who's supposed to be an offensive genius.
No doubt.
As his head coach.
Oh, there's no question about it. But now you're seeing the thin-skinned nature of the player as well. I mean, how do you turn off Hallis Hall TVs? To make sure that you're not ensure that you're not seeing the negativity and the criticism.
The more puzzling part to it for me, Moose, is not him being bothered by it, because I mean, how could you not be annoyed by people like us sitting here, guys on TV, girls on TV, and talking about how badly you're playing and how badly the team's playing? I can't believe that he mustered the strength to tell someone that it was bothering him, and could you please turn the televisions off? It's one thing to feel it and be annoyed by it, but then to go, you know what I should do? I should tell someone this is bothering me and see if they can put the view on.
Right,
or Price is right.
Right, trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off. You got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are, and what we're not, but they don't really know who we are. Or what we're capable of as people, or what we're going through, or what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in. Well, I mean, obviously. I mean, of course, I'm not a member of the Chicago Bears, but I do watch Mitchell Trubisky play quarterback, and it's terrible.
What does that mean, by the way? Like, what they're going through, what kind of people they are? Not to be dismissive, but that... I mean, it doesn't matter.
You said I called the NBA players soft.
I mean, I'm just confused by what is it? Is there something going on that we need to be sympathetic and give them the benefit of the doubt?
No, he's talking about what they're going through as a team. What, right. Eddie Pinheiro missing a 41-yarder against the Chargers?
They're not playing well.
And then criticizing the coach?
Right. They're not playing well. That's what they're going through. And why?
Nagy's still haunted by that 46-yard miss by Cody Parkey?
Well, I mean, I think in the bigger picture, I mean, there might be a strange parallel to the connection they had to that miss. And how much importance they put into replacing it.
It dominated the offseason.
Right. Like, I don't know how that's somehow like skewed their approach, but like they were so like hell-bent on erasing that from our minds, and like this big prolonged battle, and he won or he didn't win. And I mean, it was so much nonsense. Now we get to them on the field, and the kicking is the least of their problems. And if his point is we shouldn't be talking out loud about how disappointing they've been, A, he's wrong. B, don't be disappointing. Like, play better if you don't want us to talk about it.
Well, I don't disagree with you. And I thought one of the great pieces of information that came off in the offseason when they were trying out kickers is that Nagy had every free agent kicker come in and he had to make a 46-yarder.
Right. He had to make the kick that
right.
Cody
he had
Parkey
to make
didn't.
The kick. I mean, talk about just... honestly, being dominant, focused dominant on one scenario. I mean, it was just downright terrible. And I would say this.
We don't need to practice. We got a kicker now. Everything else is perfect.
If I was Trubisky, why am I thinking about what's on the radio or TV? Why are you watching? Would you be watching? I wouldn't be watching. If I'm struggling that bad, I know people are ripping me.
Yeah. I mean, he might have stumbled on it.
There's nobody that's calling up at 4 o'clock in the morning on Chicago Sports Talk Radio and saying, give Mitch a chance.
We don't know what he's going through,
guys. Get off of
his
back. He's struggling. We got to build him up. Don't tear him down. No, they're tired of basically seeing him throw the ball 7 yards over a receiver's head.
He doesn't even know we should call him Mitch or Mitchell. There's a lot on his plate. Let's let him figure this out. We've got time.
No, that's not happening. No. Don't watch anything.
Right.
Don't listen to anything. I wouldn't be doing that.
No, I mean...
Now, conversely, if I was playing brilliantly, I'd basically be having it pumping through the house.
I have Jalen Ramsey's dude walking me around town.
I'd be walking in. I'd want everything on. Right. I'd want everything on. Yeah. I'd want, my wife to tell me this podcast was talking about you.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Go to the 27-minute mark. They really.
You go get your morning coffee and a bagel, and a guy walks in. Ladies and gentlemen, now entering Joe's Bagels, yes. The quarterback of your Chicago Bears, Mitch Trubisky.
That's a good line. It's Taz of the Moose. Bogus is in the house. We got an hour left to play with. A good final hour. We got the three. Dave McGinnis is going to join Andrew and myself as well next hour. Talk a little NFL, a little Titans with him. It's Taz of the Moose. Andrew in CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.